All right, fresh off a three-day weekend, Memorial Day behind us, summer just around the corner. What up? My name is Garrett. That is Rob Shooter right there. Have a lovely glow to you. Did you spend the three-day weekend outside?
You're a monster. You know I just did television. Hello, hello, hello.
Well, no, you look good.
Well, that's because I was just on television. They paint you to look beautiful.
Where do we see you? Where do we see
I'm
you?
All over the place these days.
Tell them what you just did.
This morning I did German television.
German TV. Do you have to speak? So how does that work? Do they just ask you a question in English, and then you respond in English, then they translate you?
It's a complete sham, and it's really a phony baloney day, because I stand outside and I talk like this,
right,
and then they translate me into German.
So you can say whatever.
I could say anything.
Well, no, you say your story and they can translate whatever.
I could say blah, 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 blah.
Well, you could say something very poignant, but they translate into, the clown ran away with the spoon.
But let's be clear, the chance of that happening is not good.
Oh, no.
So I didn't say anything
That's
poignant.
That's how fake news starts.
But I could have spoke like I was on Game of Thrones, like Dothrakian. I could have spoken Dothrakian because they translate me. Although I've got to say this, in Europe, particularly outside of the United Kingdom, a lot of people in Germany and France, Spain do speak English. So they do subtitle me. Sometimes they dub me over. But German TV has very wisely figured out that the entertainment capital of the world is LA and New York, not Germany,
right,
surprisingly. And so they have bureaus and camera crews here in New York. So when a big American story breaks that will be interesting to the German audience, they call me and I do sound bites. It's fascinating because it's normally Heidi Klum. Like whenever there's a Heidi Klum story in America, that is to them everything.
It's like Hasselhoff being in Germany.
Mm-hmm. They love a plastic surgery story. They love that. They love a Caitlyn Jenner. That does big. But this morning it was J-Lo and A-Rod.
Of course.
Of course.
All right. So let's. You know what I started doing over the weekend? I don't know
Masturbating.
Why. Aside from that, going very well, by the way. I started this new fitness regimen.
Oh, you did?
Rob, let me tell you, I've... Speaking of masturbating for the first time, I've never felt so awkward after an hour workout.
Tell me what you had to do.
Did you have to
stick out your bum or roll around on the ball?
It's 12 different stations set up.
Hideous.
In 3-minute intervals.
Horrible.
So, like, you go all out for 3 minutes, and the first time you're like, 3 minutes, I got this.
Oh.
By the time you get to, like, station 4,
20 seconds in.
So, I don't know how this works. So, I walk out of there, and, like, I'm, you know, a little dry heaving, like, trying to catch my breath. Come the next day, so come Sunday morning, I think I'm paralyzed. I can't walk. Everything is, it's still tight. No. Like, Rob, it looks like I'm riding I just got done riding a horse from California
you're
to New York.
You're using muscles that you've never, ever used.
Rob Shooter.
Your daily walking in and out of your taxi, or your Uber, or your car, is not the same as doing squats for 20 minutes.
And I don't know. I don't know if it was because I was just, you know, the endorphins or whatever. I walked down, I'm like, Give me five more classes, please.
No.
That's
how they get you. So you bought a package.
Oh, I bought a package.
And now you're too cheap, and I am too, to not use that package.
Oh, of course. I'm going to use it.
Although, by the fifth time, I'm like, keep my money. I don't want to see you ever again.
My hamstrings and butt.
Does your bum hurt?
Oh, my butt hurts.
Your
legs
hurt?
More and more as I work out my butt over... that sounds weird. I'm convinced there's no way Kim Kardashian worked out that much to get that butt.
She genetically had a large bottom, so you're never going to get... Genetics are 90% of it.
Right.
You can help yourself with going to the gym and what you eat. You're in good shape, though. Like you're a fit guy.
Try to be. Yeah.
So what made you do this?
Well, just in the feel better about yourself. It's weird what they say. It's like you do feel better about yourself because in your head you start going, you know what? I just worked out. Then that's where the real work gets in mentally of like, okay, well, let's put down the chips maybe just, you know, have some water.
I find, and it's really self-centered, but it works for me, is that it's not just working out. It's spending 20 minutes or half an hour a day when you focus on yourself. And so you turn off your phone, you don't focus on your kids or your friends or your boyfriends, girlfriends, wives. You just focus on yourself. And so for me, going to the gym, it's not a pleasurable experience. I have to do it at my age. I'm 46 now. I do go. But I get just as much mental workout if I sit in a steam room.
Right.
Or if I read a book. Or if I read the New York Times. Like now, I try to have, I don't want to say I meditate because I'm not that guy.
I'm
but
not
I have
there yet.
20 minutes a day where I don't look at a computer screen and I just like sort of, I do it when I walk Darby. When I walk my
dog,
I walk to the Hudson River, and it's 20 minutes of just real sort of like Relaxation.
Scary at first because you start patting your legs like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? I'm more.
What am I missing? I'm missing nothing. I get back to the apartment, no calls.
I started getting into this where if I'm out with a bunch of friends, and it doesn't help that I have a backup battery on my phone now, but I'll let my phone die.
Let it die.
And once it dies, you do have that, oh my God, it's dead. But once you realize it's dead and there's nothing you can
panic,
do about it.
But then you let go.
You let go. So you got to, maybe it's a metaphor of life. But
I'm trying
to
not take my phone for dinner. So Bruce complained, my husband, that I was also on my phone. He's right. So now at dinner,
but it's weird in your job. You almost have
Monday
to be.
Monday to Thursday, we're very tolerant of each other's careers.
Right.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the reason we've been together for 20 years now is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we focus on one another. We do things we like together.
CBS
we go to
early
museums,
morning.
We watch CBS Early Morning. We watch Meet the Press. We read the Times. We go to the doggy park. We went to the 9/11 memorial yesterday because of Memorial Day. And I understand they're two different.
No, but it's about the respect.
But I just wanted to like go and just sort of bow my head. And so then we bought some flowers. We have a really nice time together.
Right.
All of which was
you
without
actually have
a phone.
A weekend.
We do stuff that we forget to do because we all get so busy in our lives. I do get it.
I got stuck on the grill over the weekend.
See, that's a nice thing too. Are you good?
I've learned to become better because give me a kitchen, I don't know my left from my right hand in a kitchen. You give me a grill, because I know I can Google how long for a chicken burger before you have to flip it. Like,
did you have a lot of family there?
I decided to spread it out over the 3 days because it's like, okay, well, it's a 3-day weekend. Have people over Saturday, few people here, then maybe a little less on Sunday, and then, you know, have just, you know, immediate friends Monday. So kind of like spread it out.
Very
but
nice.
I was stuck on the grill. I smell like burgers. I showered like twice a day because, but that aside, let's jump right into it. Bachelorette last night.
Watch last night.
All right. Let me say, as more and more as I watch it and get sucked into this.
I'm in.
I'm starting to agree with Kelly Ripa.
Ooh.
And I get it.
That this is, exploitative. Kelly went hard. She didn't just say she didn't like the show.
No.
She said the show was exploitative, that it demeaned women. Like, she went full on.
Right. So, but what the show did last night, so Hannah, the Bachelorette, called out this guy, Luke.
Yes.
Saying he was too cocky.
Yes.
And that he should back down because there's other men in the competition that are trying to vie for her love.
Yes.
Now, Rob, you've been together with your husband 20 years. I've been together with my wife together about 13, gonna be married 6. At the end of the day, it's not about everybody else around. Like, it's a game, but at the end of the day, you're playing a one-on-one game. It's like you and me. Like,
right.
I get she's trying to show love everywhere else.
Right.
But if you want to be in it, there's no one else around.
The floor of the show, and we've been really honest here, and producers have told me this, and contestants have told me this, they make their decision within the first 10 minutes.
Of course.
Like you're doing life.
Love
so when you walk
sight.
Into a bar or a club or anywhere and you see someone across a crowded room, you know within 10 minutes. When you met your wife, you knew.
Right.
You don't know if it's going to work out, but you know the one you
there's
like.
Something there.
And then after 2, 3, 6 weeks, that's all these, they're shot really quickly.
Yeah.
After a short amount of time, you don't change your opinion. So they know who you like immediately, which is how Jimmy Kimmel can always pick the right one. The person that gets the first impression rose, the person that gets the first rose, are normally in the top two. You don't change your opinion in that amount of time.
Oh, yeah. First
impressions. Don't get to know each other.
And it goes like that in the workplace,
in life.
And
but
friends.
But then producers, and this is what we don't have in our life, although we do have friends
we
that
should.
Do this, producers discourage you from going all the way down that path because you've got a show to fill.
Right.
So then they're like last night they fill it with such rubbish that makes me laugh. Like last night they had the guys giving birth.
Ugh.
Total filler. Then they had a photo shoot. We're like, we'll put them with animals because her dogs are important to her. Total filler. Just get to who she's going to kiss.
It's a half-hour show.
You could almost do it in 10 minutes. Like,
oh, yeah.
And what episode?
Maybe
I know.
That's the way to do it.
I know you picked. I know already. So I think they're sort of messing with us a little bit.
That's
different to what Kelly's saying.
Right.
Because I don't know if it's exploiting them or they're exploiting us here.
I think they're exploiting us at
which
this
is
point
different
because,
to Kelly.
Because last night Hannah's like, listen, I want you to love me, but love me from a distance.
Yeah, back off so I can explore.
But keep on loving
me.
Don't forget about loving me. I'm just going to go over
here. And he was mad.
But if you and I did that, when we're out at, you know,
you'd be done.
At
I'd
the
move
bar
on.
And I go, hey, Rob, you know, I get you're into me and I like it. I think you're a little over cocky, but hey, you know, I could get into that. But there's a bunch of other people over here. So keep on loving me.
While I go over here.
I'm going to go over here and talk to these 18 other people. How effing pissed would you be?
It's not good. Well, it would tell me you're not the one for me.
Right. Right,
but
exactly.
That's the floor of the show. That the floor of the show is not exploitation. We're being exploited. The floor of the show is they pick really, really quickly. Last night, they didn't do a good job.
Don't wait for the rose. If you know right then and there, it's almost like just picking off with the sniper. You're like, see you later. Get out of here.
But there are some interesting stories along the way.
There's a handful of them.
But there's a lot of filler, like 2 hours.
It's very bro-y, too. It gives me flashbacks to college.
I was with the gays, so we did never play that bro game. But I can now, so what I do is on a Monday, there's this amazing series on HBO about Chernobyl, the nuclear disaster. It's unbelievable.
I'm hearing great things
about it. It's 8 episodes, so I watched 3 over the weekend on demand, Monday night at 9 o'clock, Chernobyl's on. So I watched the first hour of The Bachelor, then I went over to Chernobyl, and then I came back and watched the last hour on Fast Forward, and I could get through an hour of The Bachelor without missing anything.
Smart.
12 minutes.
It's all filler. Great DVR trick. So if you're recording a show, give it about anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes tops before you start it. Now, you might be a little bit behind, but eventually you'll get through it with no commercials and still in that quote-unquote live time period.
Yes, I go on TV a lot to talk about award shows.
Right.
I often don't watch live. I record the show, which is 3 bloody hours or so.
Ugh.
I can fast forward. I watch the opening. I watch the first couple of seconds of each performance. I watch a few big acceptance speeches.
And the last award.
And I'm done. I've got it.
It's the way to do. Let's see. Oh, your girls, the Spice Girls, kicked off their World Tour.
They messed up, though, didn't they? It was awful.
I'm hearing mixed reviews.
Hearing's the right word. So I hear the sounds atrocious, which there's no excuses for. So I was talking to people that play arenas,
right.
People that play 60, 70,000. And there's a lot of artists that can do that. Not that many,
right.
But there are a lot. When you do a show that big, you hire people who know how to do that. It's very different than playing in a room of 1,000.
Right.
It's months and there's a delay. It's actually very difficult. Now, there's no money spared on this tour. It's a lot of money. What I'm told is so difficult and the reason the sound was awful is because the girls don't sing very well. Sorry, everybody. It's hard to make you sound great anywhere. In a room of 2 people, if you sing badly, you don't sing it in tune, and there's a lot of computer generation help.
That's why some artists just do it in a studio.
Yes. It's very hard to make a girl group that's not known for their singing, or a boy group,
a group in general, or a singer.
It's not easy to make a group that don't sound good sound great to 70,000. That's what the trick is, I heard.
Here's the thing, and I think you
it's
can...
It's not going to get better.
I totally agree on that. Well, I think the hype got so overhyped over their reunion, but this is not like the first time. This is like the Cher, I'm going away, but coming back tour, but they kept on... They would come back in spurts. Like, what was
right.
it? 5, 10 years ago, they tried it.
They did.
And they were like, okay.
The difference is, we saw a show with Elvis. I went with Elvis from here. She puts on a show.
Sings.
Boom. She dances, her costume. These girls.
But she never left the stage.
Yeah, these guys didn't rehearse enough. They don't. It's not. Like, I know people that went to Dublin that saw it. And they went as real fans, and they didn't even care that they couldn't sing very well. It was nostalgia.
Do you think Mel B's regretting leaving America's Got Talent for this?
I don't know if she left it. I think she got pushed out.
Oh, yeah.
So I think also, too, there's an interview that comes out with Mel on British TV and Piers Morgan.
Piers off.
Yeah, so he's leaked like the juicy parts about the lesbian sex.
Of course he did.
There's more. She comes after Victoria in the interview. She says, Mel B, that she hooked up with Zac Efron. What?
Well, you see what Victoria did over the weekend. So
very
classic. While her friends were on stage,
doing
her
an awful
sister,
performance.
She was out supporting her husband, who decided, ironically enough, to put on a soccer uniform for the first time in a very long time and get back on the field.
It's so awful. When I worked for Jessica Simpson, I worked for Jessica for a couple of years. When I was working with Jess, she broke up with Nick Lachey. On the day Nick's album drops, she decides that she's going to, after being years of being known as a beautiful blonde, like big boobs, blonde hair, she decided she's going to go red. So the cover of the Post said, Red Hot Jess. It's Jessica in a red wig walking around New York. And I was like, on the day his album dropped?
I'll never forget that day where her dad, Joe Simpson, decided to announce their divorce. Thanksgiving Eve, arguably where all the press is shut down because Macy's parade was the next day.
I was there.
And Joe goes, you know what? No one's talking about this. They weren't planning like...
Do you know when I got the call to tell me? I was in a photo studio at Pier 59 on the West Side Highway.
In New York City, yeah, yeah.
And Ashley was doing her first big cover. It was Elle, or sort of a fashion magazine that Ashley had never got. And she was doing her first big cover. We're in the middle of the photo shoot.
Oh, my
Everyone's
God.
Looking at Ashley. It's Ashley's moment. Ring, ring, ring,
for 10
ring.
Minutes.
I look down. Jessica. Ugh. Who was under the name Bridget Bardot. That was her name at the time. So she called, like, so when she checked into hotels, her name is Bridget.
Bridget Bardot. So I always find
Bridget,
that interesting.
And so Bridget came up on my phone. I was like, oh. And then I didn't get it because I was with Ashley. And I was very aware there was sibling rivalry. It's always about Jessica, never
Do you
Ashley.
Have to be like, oh, my mum's calling.
And then she texted, like, so I was like, oh, gotta get it. She's like, me and Nick, that's it. I've pulled the plug, write the statement.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, not only Thanksgiving, but Ashley's. Big Ash, poor Ash. Although they both make a ton of money.
Yeah,
have a great life.
She got into the fashion industry. She's doing very well. Let's talk about, we were just talking about Mel B on America's
Got
Talent.
He put on a football uniform.
Who?
Beckham.
Oh, yeah, he put on a...
No!
He got back on the field.
Do you think she said, you put on these tight shorts, this
you
white...
You gotta think, Rob.
Oh, no. It doesn't happen by chance. Oh, someone would say
so
to
you're
him,
telling me he decided to start playing football, soccer, the same day?
No! And if he did, if it was a coincidence, somebody said to him, David, this is the same day that the Spice Girls are coming back.
With, what? Like, yeah,
should we wait? Or David, should we do this another day? Or maybe you should wear a suit today, David, and throw a ball.
Of all the days.
I'd say to him, and if he said, I know, which he probably did say,
right.
But do it. But I would say if I was his publicist, David, you do know what today is. Because they all know.
Of course. That's what I'm saying.
Victoria doesn't know what David
the
doesn't
know. The kids were out there, too. It was a family spectacle.
All they needed was a dog. Yeah. If you get a dog and a blind person, then you know. It's unbelievable.
And David saved someone.
Did you see that on The Bachelor last night? So the guy that was manipulating us, we thought he was going to get voted off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he gave her a big speech. He had some sort of disease. He had an amputation, although he had four limbs, but he did say he had something was amputated, maybe his penis or his brain. And then he had his dog. He talked about a puppy. I was like, God, this is all the big hits.
And then all the guys...
trashed him.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that in life? Have you ever played the sympathy? I do it with my arm, so I have a damaged arm. When I'm about to be told, my arm.
I'll admit it. All right, so Rob, Rob Shooter, you ready? All right. If you ever been to like amusement parks before and you go get something to eat, right? During like the height season, we're talking July 4th.
That's a long line.
Yeah, long lines where, or even at a restaurant for that matter, where lines could be anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and 15. I have gone to the lengths of, which is true, saying I'm a diabetic. I just took my insulin. And I do need some food.
I need two hot dogs.
As soon as possible.
And my wife needs one, and my son needs...
Not even hot dogs, fully seated. I don't even get one of those beepers that go, okay,
so
your table is ready.
So you walk
they're
in
like,
say, I'm a
sir,
diabetes.
Sir, okay. We're totally understand.
You're a horrible, horrible person.
I get
but I'm
it.
Glad you admitted it.
I get it, but I admitted it.
What does your wife say? She mortified or thrilled?
Depends on the time of the day.
If I was hungry, I'd be thrilled. Yeah, honey.
She'll jump on board. If not, she'll be like, really? Not now's not the time.
Do your kids know what you're up to?
They have no idea. They're too little to understand.
So if I walk into a restaurant and say, I'm Rob Shooter, I'm a diabetes.
I'm a diabetic.
Diabetic.
I just took my insulin.
And I need to eat now.
Now, the problem is, I just told my secret, so... you know, but some people I say, hey, I will get you some orange juice, which is very nice of people, and they do.
Well, that doesn't cut it. You want to sit down.
I want to sit down, right? So when I get the orange juice, I kind of have to abort mission. I can't come up with a backup plan.
Well, when you're sitting, have you ever been like, this seat's not good for a diabetes?
I wouldn't go that extent.
I'm like, can I sit over there?
Because you got to realize the situation that you're in. You're in a restaurant that everybody wants to be in at that time.
What does everyone in the line say? Or do they think you're a star?
Well, no. They probably think like I might be someone quote unquote of importance.
From the radio.
Not even that. They don't know. So they just go. You'll hear a speech like, what was that about?
And you get seated.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Now it's out. See, I'm glad we admitted it.
All right, let's
talk about that secret.
I just now told the masses. all right, let's talk about Adam Levine. So, 16 seasons on The Voice, a very long commitment in the TV
making
world,
making a ton of money,
ton of money,
ton of money.
All of a sudden, he puts out a statement over the weekend saying, "Thanks, I love you all. See you later. Right. Goodbye."
We reported first. So, Naughty Gossip broke first at the Upfronts, which is the big advertising thing in New York last week. He was a real brat to the point where during rehearsals at Radio City Music Hall, they told Adam not to bother and they used a stand-in for the camera angles because Adam was a bad boy. Adam on that show behind the scene is not easy. If you're an Adam fan, I get it. I've got to be honest with you. Adam's not a easy, happy-go-lucky type of celebrity. Yeah, if you meet him on a red carpet.
He has his guard. He will always have his guard up. A friend of mine, you know her, Danielle, got to interview Adam a couple years ago. The whole interview, you know what he did?
What?
Ate an apple, when you're doing any type of interview, radio or TV,
it's aggressive.
You know, tell us about the.
It's not good.
That's
not good. They don't. People in my business are not fans of Adam as a human being, as a man.
Right.
They love his music. They think he's talented. Adam has a bad reputation. He really does. I know people who work on The Voice who have worked on TV shows I've been on. Camera guys, sound guys. They're not fans of Adam. So if you say Kelly Clarkson, they light up.
Right, Blake Shelton.
Blake is so much fun. If he has a barbecue, we're all invited. They like Jennifer Hudson. She was a little bit more removed, but they like her. The one that they don't, and they don't trash him, but if I say Adam Levine, they're like,
that's good.
Well, if I say them, who's the ladies? Who's the last to set? Adam.
Who's
the longest in hair and makeup? Adam, not Alicia. So Adam's tricky. So I think the staff are thrilled to see him go. The show was unsure because that show, it's a little sexist, has rotated a lot of women, but not a lot of men. Adam and Blake have been the cornerstone of that show.
16 years.
For a long time. So the shows, they don't want to change. When you're a hit, they don't want to change.
Let's get the one joke out of the way. If Blake steals a contestant from Gwen, you know, Gwen's going to say, well, you're on the couch tonight. Yes. And then everybody goes, and then it'll be a headline.
Scripted already. That will be it.
Here's another one. Let's end on this. Ed Sheeran.
I like Ed.
Is going to turn 30 and...
maybe be a billionaire. So Ed's making a ton
billion
of money.
$1 billion,
his
Rob
music,
Shooter.
And it's all in the songwriting. So it's
not
great.
Essentially his songs, but other songs that he has written as well.
He's written so many songs for so many different celebrities. The money he's just pouring in. So when Ed does a show, when a celebrity does a concert, you can only do one a night. Maybe you can do two, but you've got to stand on stage and sing. When you write a song, it can air 1,000 different places, a million different places.
It's not just that.
Every night, and the money keeps rolling in.
Rob Shooter, the other thing you don't realize with the tour, so he made $500 million on his last tour.
Staggering.
Normally, like when Maroon 5 goes out, there's four or five different guys you have to split.
Ed does not split it.
It's Ed Sheeran on stage alone.
Beyonce and Jay split it 50-50.
Well, yeah, but it stays in the same house.
Does, but even so, if me and you were married and we went on tour, I'd want 60%.
Well, then I would have to sue you and then bring you to court.
We would do 50-50. But
Judge Judy would side with me, obviously.
Probably. But until I told her about what you do at restaurants, monster.
She could be a diabetic too and she can relate.
Ed is really successful. Good for him. And add on this too. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. When you talk about Ed in show business, everyone's like, he's humble and sweet and on time and professional. Good for him.
He is. A friend of mine got to go over to his house in the UK for 2 days. A friend of ours, Charlemagne, got to sleep at his house.
So cool.
Interview him for 2 days straight. Ed took him around town, had haggis.
It's a Scottish, it's an appetizer, like stuffed durma would be the Yiddish or Jewish sort of equivalent, but it's an appetizer that's pretty rough.
He had a chef make haggis and vegetarian haggis. they went to a local pub that his friend, his dad brews
really
local
great.
Beer, sat down and talked. So if you get a chance, it's on YouTube. Ed Sheeran, Charlamagne, go watch that, and that's really it.
Good to see you, my friend.
All right, well,
have a great week.
Let's not sue each
other.
Let's keep all the money in the household.
50-50,
it'll just be that much better. 60-40. It'll make the relationship that much better.
Can I make 70?
But what am I getting in return?
Love. Respect.
How can you argue that? And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Future billionaires in the making. Rob Shooter, Garrett. We'll talk to you next week.